And then after all that was said and done, everybody went home. And you know, when people don't want to talk anymore, they want to go home. They want to go into their safety zone, their own place where they can abide and be away from everybody and everything. And God for us today has that. And God has us here today to remind us that this is our safety zone here. We need the Word. We hunger after righteousness. We thirst after righteousness. We need God. So then, and every man went in his own house, and you know, chapter 8, verse 1, Jesus went into the Mount of Olives. Chapter breaks. Really, respectively, not being wrong about God's word, but you know, chapter breaks are just there because of a monk put them there in the 4th century. But Jesus went into the Mount of Olives. So Jesus went his own way. Nobody, no expositor, nobody knows where he went. Remember, Jesus would have a place where, you know, he had no home. He would lay his head wherever he could. You got people today that are wanderers or vagabonds, that are missionaries, and people even at home have been uprooted so many times, sometimes they have no place to lay their head. And so Jesus went and got some rest. Then, verse 2. And early in the morning, you know, thank God for new days. Amen. We have a new day. It rained last night. Yay! 1 o'clock in the morning, it started to rain. Who cares about the wind? Yes, we do care about the electricity. Realize that just about everything we have in our homes runs from electricity. So thank God spiritually that Jesus is our electricity. He gets us empowered every day. We plug ourselves into the Word. We can hear it. We can see it. Et cetera, et cetera. So early in the morning, Jesus came again into the temple. He went right back. He didn't give up. He wasn't like, oh, I'm scared, I'm going to run away. No, we have a Savior. We have a Messiah that is just awesome because he's a man's man. He is everything that we could ever look for in a God, number one, and number two, in a man. And a man today is what's supposed to be in a Christian home, the spiritual leader, right? And if he's married to a woman, he's got an equal share with eternity. And so a man who is even single has a responsibility to be the man God's called him to be. So, and woman too. So early in the morning, he came again to the temple, and all the people came unto him. It's amazing, people just came to him because they loved him. They wanted to be with him. They heard of him. But remember, in chapter 7, we shouldn't fool ourselves. There were some people thought he was a magician. Oh, anybody can make up these tricks and do these things. Other people are like, is this the Messiah? I don't think so. I think that when the Messiah comes, he'll do everything just right because we're not getting everything we want. Today in our world, if you go out witnessing to people, there's nothing new under the sun, but there are people who are like, yeah, but Jesus doesn't give me everything I need. You know, I got a boat, I got a car, I got a house, I have 2 cars, 3 cars. I have kids, I have grandkids, I have everything the world, underlying the world, gives me, but Jesus doesn't give me more. Oh, but that's when we tell him, oh, Jesus can give you more spiritually. Jesus is crying out the day before, if you thirst, come to me. I could see that happening. Well, this big festival is going on, the Feast of Tabernacles, and everybody's just, like I said last week, everybody's turns their head. Who's that? Well, it's that Jesus guy. Oh, okay. And I ask people that today. Who do you think Jesus is? And that really stops people short in their walk. They're like, I don't really know. And they smile sweetly at you. I really don't want to talk about it. Thank you. And others are like, oh, yeah, and then they'll go on talking for the next half an hour. You can't shut them up, you know. But then you have Jesus here. And it says here that he actually came, and all the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. Isn't it interesting? We have a God that will actually come over and sit down and talk with us. And I actually thought of this week. How many times have we sat down and talked with Jesus? Isn't that sweet? Isn't that wonderful? We could just sit down. There's nothing better than Jesus. Our songs that we sing, That's a relationship. That's a heartfelt thing. It's not just about singing. Singing's great if we can sing. I'm not all that great. We have a great leader. We have song people who do music do a great job, you know. But yet it's all about the relationship and that word, that heartbeat behind that. Jesus takes time to sit with the people. And it's amazing because you could have had hundreds, thousands there. The Bible doesn't say. So I don't think that's where the Holy Spirit's leading with this today. But I will say this, that Jesus can take a small group or a large group and teach them. And that's what he's doing. And so it was early in the morning. And then all of a sudden trouble starts. You've had trouble this week? Oh, yeah. We've all had trouble. Oh, let me tell you, we've had devils knocking at the door. Things get slipped out from underneath of us. Or just like, oh my goodness, I didn't know what time it was. Or whatever, everything. I'm telling you, as the days grow shorter, even though they seem to be long right now, they're growing shorter because Christ is coming back. But we've got soldiers here in the midst. We have warriors. We've got Christians here that just put that armor on every day and they pray every day and they work at it every day and they never give up every day, and that's you all. I'm like, man, talked to somebody earlier this morning. I said, yeah, devil's at work. The other person was like, yeah, I know. Don't have to say anything. But you know what? We're going to stick it out. We're going to be together. We're going to fight through this. We're going to do it in love. We're going to do it in the Spirit. And we're going to try to reach the lost. So Jesus is there. Trouble starts. Do right for God. I will guarantee you. The devil will be lying at the door. It's just like, okay. So the scribes and the Pharisees. Okay, the scribes are the lawyers. Those are the ones that know all about the law. Okay. They come and they're like, where's Jesus? He's right over there by Solomon's porch. Okay, let's go. The Pharisees come along. Okay, they are doctors of the law. There's only about 600 of them at that time, at that period when Jesus was alive. You had to be going through all the schooling. You had to memorize everything. It was just a big show, a religious show. You know, they wore all the garbs, all the garments. They could recite things to you. They were pretty smart people. But in God's eyes, it didn't mean anything to him because he was looking at the heart. So the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman. A woman. Okay, they could have brought a man. They could have brought a woman and a man. They brought this woman in adultery. Can you imagine the audacity of somebody coming in here dragging a woman or a man and woman, and accusing them before everybody here in church today? That is just all kinds of wrong. I, as a pastor, would say, oh, excuse me, you got to do everything decently in order. Excuse me, you need to leave. You need to go. We don't have time for this. Nobody has time for this. We will talk to you later. We will deal with this later. This is just all kinds of wrong. According to Jewish law, okay, you were supposed to have a man there as well as the woman, okay? And you also were supposed to catch them in the act. You were supposed to have witnesses there. There were actually, as we're all adults here, they were in the act of actually doing it. And the two witnesses would have to be put in separate rooms and tell the exact same story. Try to get that today in the news, and you won't. And, you know, about politicians and everything. But getting back to this lady, this poor, poor soul. You know, Jesus spent his time there at the well, and he talked to this lady who had, what, not just one husband, but had five. But did Jesus ever treat her like that? No. And I'm saying, by the grace of God, sin is sin any which way you cut it. For those people who have been caught in adultery, it scars them. My pastor told me that years ago. Even though they get things right with their husband, it scars them for life. Okay? It's not the same. You broke something sacred, a vow. But this lady was, I'm sure she was doing it at that time because she was probably hungry, starving. You had male prostitutes, female prostitutes. They didn't do it for the sex. I'm saying this to adults here. They did it because they need money to survive. They might have had a family. It happens today in different cultures around the world. So there's no gasp or whatever. It happens a lot today. And you have spiritual adultery too. You have that too. And that's on a different subject. But so then the Pharisees, scribes brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst. Why would they do something like this? Is because it's very obvious they wanted to trap Jesus. They thought they were too smart. You know, we have to do a quick turnaround about face, don't we? When we think we're smarter than God, don't we? And sometimes we do. I'm saying this very humbly, very meekly, that, you know, sometimes I think I've, in my past life, I say, Lord, you know, I can do things. I think I got another idea. And the Lord's saying, no, don't do it. And I come back crawling on my knees. Lord, you were right. I was wrong. We've all been there, done that. Because of our flesh. Because we're sinners. But they wanted to take Jesus and trap him. They didn't want to hear what he had to say. And they thought, oh boy, and you know what? The title of this message here is Jesus Confronts Hypocrisy. You know, some preachers get up and give you the title and the outline and everything else to go along with it. I just go through the Bible like it is. And so it could have been a person caught in homosexuality. Stone them. Darn tootin'. According to the Levitical law in Leviticus 20, if you were homosexual, adulterer, other things, oh my goodness, they wouldn't wait. They would stone you. Remember they did that to Stephen. He had a witness there named Saul in the book of Acts. How many people today, but I'm not saying you all do this, and I hope nobody does here, judges other people. Now, if the kids were here, I had an illustration of a giant tube I had here. And, you know, you could put this over your eye. If you close your eyes, you had one eye open, you look through it, and then you had like a little piece of paper. I was giving it to the kid. And I said, you know what? I said, Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 5, deal with your own problems before you judge somebody else. You know? And I would tell the kid, I said, well, can you, with a piece of paper over your eye there, a little piece of paper, that's the person who's got the issue. The other person comes along and says, oh, look at him. Bad, bad, bad. I said, well, how would you deal with it, kids? And I'm sure one of them would say, well, maybe I should forgive him. Yeah. See, these people should have forgiven that poor lady. Could have been anybody caught in sin. But, of course, they had the giant beam coming out of their eye of judgment because they were so full of themselves. They had no love. They wanted to condemn. And what did Jesus say in Matthew 7, 1 through 5? By how you judge people, how you will be judged. By how you judge people, you'd be judged. And, you know, I read through that again this week, and I'm like, oh, it's like, I got to be careful, you know? So easy to judge people. Well, we should have a loving, discerning heart. Because sometimes we think we know what's right, and then we run with it in the what? Flesh. In the flesh. And we need to be driven by what? The Spirit. That's all. So, they had the lady there. And they were embarrassing. I'm sure they were embarrassing everybody there. This is embarrassing. You would never want to do that to somebody. If you got a problem, you deal with it there with somebody, not take it before everybody. Verse 4, and they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Okay? So now they're trying to justify themselves. They did wrong. I know they knew they were doing wrong. But they were trying to justify themselves. And you hear somebody trying to toot their horn, trying to say, oh, I'm right, you know. And they look more of a fool than ever before. And so now they justify themselves even further. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what sayest thou? Again, It was a trap. Now, this is the trap here. Listen to this carefully. Verse 6, this they said, tempting him, that he might have to accuse him. But Jesus, I'm going to stop there. They were ready to accuse him. Now, Jesus said, according to the Roman law, this woman should be stoned. Then they could say, my point is sometimes if people get us into that trap, don't say anything. Keep our mouth shut, right? That's some wisdom. People are trying to trap us. It said, well, you know, Jesus, if you said you're going to stone this lady, which, you know, you should, you're taking your own justification, your own righteousness, Jesus, you, whoever you are, and you're going against Roman law. Roman law says, oh, we have to go. The Romans would take care of that. So we got you, Jesus. So that's on one hand. Jesus wasn't buying this. He's beyond good to us, isn't he? Amen. We ask for wisdom. On the other hand, if you don't listen to the Mosaic law, she was trapped. And you know what, Jesus, you were wrong. She's an adulteress, so you got to deal with her. You know? So either which way, the Jewish law, the Roman law, you've been had, Jesus. And what does Jesus do? I love this. Because this is how we should deal with people who give us a hard time, people who hate Jesus and they hate us, or just people that we don't get along with. Somehow we don't, rub the right way. And then, but Jesus stooped down. They thought, oh, we got him in a catch-22 here. Jesus stoops down. He stoops down on her level. You know, when somebody, like I had said this before over to Evan, I gave a little tidbit of what I was going to be preaching about this Sunday. I said, you know, Billy Graham was asked this question by a reporter. It came out of nowhere. They put Billy on the spot back in the 70s. And they said to him, well, what would you do if you just found out your son came to you, who you love and everything, Billy, found out he was homosexual, what would you do? Boy, you know, if that happened to some of us today, we'd be like, wow, really? Now that's a change. You know, that could happen for our unsaved loved ones. You never know. That's why I always keep the Bible open. I'm like, hey, anything could happen any day. Be thankful that we're alive another day. Be thankful. You know, God's given us the grace. And we're praying for one another, and we're never going to give up. We're still in the same boat. We will make it on to Calvary, to Zion, to heaven. So what did Billy say? Billy goes, I love him more. I would love him more. I would love him more. I'm like, oh my goodness, that's grace. You know? I'm very thankful that for you all here that can love sinners. And I would love him even more. And every time the devil tries to put a wedge in our church or tries something with somebody that we love, gotta love him more. So then you have Jesus. He stoops down to her level. I love this. And with his finger right on the ground as though he heard them not. You know, when you have people are badgering you, you ever been around people that just badger you? They give you a hard time trying to trip you up. Jesus never winced. He never ran away. He says, well, you know, sometimes we got to pray about it. And that's always a wise thing to do. But and he stooped down and nobody knows what he wrote. Remember, he stooped down twice. Nobody knew what he wrote. He could have written down the sins of the people that were there. You know, because from the oldest to the youngest, remember the oldest walked away first? They were probably people with more sins. They're just like, okay, yeah, I hear you, but I don't want to believe you, but I have nothing more to say on the matter. Met people like that? I have nothing more to say. Then the younger ones were like, well, we'll hang around and see what the older ones do. Yeah, we'll follow the leader, so to speak. We're not as bad as the older ones are, but, you know, Jesus could have been writing down their sins. There's many explanations behind it. I don't think it's necessary because if the Bible said it would be necessary. But I think we have what is called a conscience. And remember, this poor lady who's been humiliated is still there on the ground. The idea of her bringing in there, they dragged her in. They had spies. They had things set up. It was a big setup. You ever feel like you've been set up before? Isn't that a sick feeling? And having these leaders come in with a sick smile on their face? Jesus, you can tell when it's cynical. You can tell when it's evil, it's wrong. You have enough gumption and you're all smart enough. And get around people trying to set you up. Oh, thank you. Okay. So, then verse 7 says, when they continue asking him, remember they were badgering him? He lifted himself. Remember, he was in control of everything. Remember, when God's in control of our lives, he's in control of everything, isn't he? Amen. You have nothing to worry about. God's going to take care of you. Some of you were sharing your problems with me earlier this morning, and it's just like, oh, just God's in control. God's going to take care of it. We know all things work together for good for those who love the Lord, who are called according to his purpose. He'll take care of it. So, in asking him, he lifted himself up and said unto him, I could see him standing up, looking him right in the eye, right in the eye. You know, real person, you know, my dad told me years ago, when somebody's talking to you, look at them in the eye. And when you're talking to them, don't be looking away because it looks like you're trying to hide something. You've ever been around somebody who can't look at you in the eye? And you're like, what are you hiding? What? I don't understand. I've met a couple people like that. And they turned out to be liars. That doesn't mean that all people like that are liars, okay? Please don't get me the wrong way. So, Jesus says this, and this is a saying that many people outside Christian world, in the world today, use this. He that is among without sin among you, let him cast the first stone. In other words, the first witness, after they had already condemned this person, would pick up a rock and throw it at him in a pit. And then you have another person throw another and another. And after a while, that person would be beaten down, bruised so bad. And after a while, and they wouldn't just pick up little stones. They'd pick up boulders, too, and knock them out. If that didn't work, then they historians said they move the rocks out of the way and throw more on them. Kind of terrible, isn't it? Stone somebody. But that's, according to the Mosaic law, that's... Why was God so mean and brutal to people who sinned? Because it sent the fear of the Lord in the camp in Moses' time. Remember, they could have gone to God. They had the tabernacle. They could have gotten things right. Even in Joshua's time with Achan. Remember that guy who hid some clothing and some silver under his tent? God takes sin seriously. And, you know, it's hard because we're sinners. We like to hide those things. We like to get away with things, but we don't get away with it with God. And this poor woman was there. Instead of being forgiven, she was just being taken advantage of. And as we would say, shame on you. Shame on you. So, then, again, he stooped in verse 8 down and wrote on the ground the second time. Now, I often wonder about that. Why did he do that? Because obviously they weren't getting it. They weren't listening. You know, it's very difficult to talk to somebody when they're not listening because they're not listening. They can hear, but they don't want to listen. And here they were thinking all about killing Jesus. And they were like, who is this? This guy is trapping us now. He's setting up the snares. He's setting up the pits for us to fall into. He's like calling us the blind people here, blind leading the blind. Oh my goodness. We've got to just listen and see what he does next. And then Jesus does this the second time. And still we don't know what he had to write. But he could have been identifying with her. Here she was on the ground. If you ever help somebody in a mission, sometimes you have to be right next to their bed with them. You got to help people that have been thrown up. People who have defecated on themselves. If you ever worked in a mission before, it can be kind of disgusting. But, you know, with God's love, you can do it. Down Baltimore, I worked at one for a few months. And it's not all pretty and nice, you know, dealing with drunks and all. You have to love them. That's key to working in a mission, is you got to love people. And then, verse 9, and they heard it being convicted by their own conscience. Oh, you know what? The conscience has got us every time, right? We got that right. And went out one by one, beginning with the eldest, even unto the last, and Jesus was left alone. I love that. Jesus always protects us. You know, he's there for us. And he says this, he says, woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? Now that word woman does not mean to be something disrespectful. It's a very polite, gentle way. The same word woman is used in John chapter 4 with the woman at the well. He didn't say, woman, you bad woman. No, he says, woman, very polite, very gentle. You know, where are thy accusers? And then he used also that with the woman in the well as his own mother at the marriage feast. You know, woman, could you go get some more, find some more jars for the, we're having a celebration here. Jesus was so kind, so gentle, and that just made the enemy even more angry. It's like we want to tear him apart. We want to crucify him, and they did. And then verse 11, she said, no man. Isn't that amazing? When you're falsely accused and your conscience is clear, you can walk away and be clean. Even if you sin, you know, I am sure she might have. The Bible doesn't say how many times she slept with other people. And she was an adulteress. She could have been sleeping with another man, another woman's man. Or just, you know, cheating on her husband. It could have been that way or this way. But Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. And now people misunderstand this verse totally. Doesn't mean she'll be sinless. Jesus saying, stay away from that sin. Stay away from it. Now, as we know that, for her, every time I'm sure she looked in the mirror, she would have to remind herself of that. But, you know, that's the devil for you. He likes to bring things up when we are weak, tired, exhausted. He likes to do that because he's mean and he's cruel and he knows his time's short and he knows if he can do anything to disrupt our testimony, he will give it his best. But you know what? We don't have to stoop to his level. We have Jesus. We bear our crosses every day. We work every day. We need his strength every day. We need his help every day. And there's some things, folks, and you know this, that are out of our control. We wish we could lead everybody to Christ. We wish we could do the best we can. And this church, God bless your hearts. Each one of you is trying. Or at least the best that you know how to. And some people don't understand that. And you know what? As long as you're doing right before the Lord, that's accounts. And I've said this before. Who cares what other people think? Yes, you do love them. Yes, you do care about them. But you do what's right before the Lord first, and then all these things will happen. There are people behind the scenes with VBS that I won't mention. They working hard. They work. They do their due diligence. Very thankful for a board here that works very hard. You have no idea. We have no idea what each one of us does here. God bless you all. Work hard. We're a small number, but I tell you, we're powerful. We are powerful. And it's an honor just to be here. And so she is there. And I'm going to close with this. God can forgive any sin. There's just a couple things I'm going to close with. What was Jesus' humility? He was humble enough to get down there with her. And we should do that. Okay? Hypocrisy means the idea in the Greek is wearing a face mask, a pretender. You know them, you can spot them out there. They're liars, they talk about things, and you know they think they're getting away with it, but we pray for them. Number two is wisdom. Ask God for wisdom when people try to degrade other people or try to degrade us. And also ask for forgiveness too. So there is humility, wisdom, and forgiveness. You didn't have to bring her in there. The only reason why they did that is because they wanted to trip Jesus. They wanted to get him suckered. It didn't work with God. We got that to deal with every day when we share the Lord Jesus Christ. But we have something better than that. We have God's wisdom and his forgiveness. And so, let us all remember that next time a brother and sister falls into sin. And even ourselves, we fall into sin. That God always forgives. There's nothing that he can't forgive. You're saying, what about our murderer? Oh, yes, God can forgive that too. Okay? It may scar people. It may hurt them. And I remember leading a man to the Lord who committed two murders in the county jail years and years ago. Big African-American guy. He looked at me and he said, he wasn't trying to taunt me. I don't taunt. I don't intimidate. He says, so what can Jesus do? And I led him to the Lord. I thank God for that because it was all for him. And he says, thank God. He goes, I'm forgiven. And the other jailmates were looking at him because we had a small Bible study. And said, God can't forgive that. Yes, he can. Oh, yes, he can. I don't know what happened to him because they sent him to the Maryland Penitentiary in Baltimore City. I was in a county jail. He was just there for a short time for lockup. So God can forgive anything, and you all know that. God can forgive anything. Is this if we're in the other, if we're in the driver's seat, so to speak, and we've committed something, we can always be forgiven. We can always take it to the cross. Yes, we have to reap what we sow, but God forgives, and we press on. Put it behind you. We don't have time for this. We got Jesus to live for. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you that we have you to live for. And thank you, Lord Jesus, that you took the time to stoop down to her in this most humiliating and troublesome way. And thank you, Lord Jesus, that you cleared away all the accusers. And thank you, Lord Jesus, that you brought her to the place where she needed you. And that's where we all need to be every day. Please forgive us. When we had a self-reliant attitude or we've just been self-satisfied, and that's different from being content with godliness. We thank you, Lord, for your people here. We put you first. We put others second and themselves last. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you took the time to be there for her. You've taken the time to be there for us. You will take time to be with other people. Pray we continue to press on to the high calling in Christ Jesus. And pray if there's somebody here who doesn't know you as Savior, that they will come to you. And I know that you will in no wise cast them out. You will come to them as you came to this woman. And thank you for the precious blood. Thank you for the cross of Calvary. And thank you for the resurrection. One day, what glorious day that will be, we'll be home with you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.